Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Bifolchi, Research Manager at Special Russia, and today we have a new episode of Geopolitical Report podcast. We have a colleague, a friend, and also a guest for us. We have with us Max Taylor. He's Intelligence Manager at a company, Intelligence Fusion, covering Central Asia, Caucasus, and the AFPAC region. Hi, Max.
Hi, thanks very much for the invite to be on today.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure, and today with you, we will discuss some geopolitical dynamics regarding Central Asia, regarding also the AFPAC region. So my first question, because also your work at Intelligence Fusion, is what are the main security risks and threats in Central Asia?
Yeah, this is a really hard question to break down, and obviously it varies depending on the country in question. So I'll try to just stick to ones that are relevant to the whole region. And, you know, and of course it will vary depending on the country. But I think one that's pressing, the main one for me that's pressing for the whole region has got to be water security. This is something that's nothing new to Central Asia. Water security has been an issue in this region for years and years now. But I do think as years are going and coming ahead of us, water security is becoming more and more of a pressing issue. And it's becoming more of a geopolitical issue as well. Water security issues require cross-border agreements between multiple countries at once. There's a lot of moving parts to them. And then one thing that we've seen in the Central Asia region in the past is that the states tend to be not necessarily reluctant, but they haven't always been successful in making these trans-border agreements. So I do think that there's certainly a potential risk here, which whilst isn't strictly speaking a security risk, it can easily form into a physical security risk if left unchecked and mismanaged. A couple of other topics that are perhaps more unique to the region itself are the border with Afghanistan. And whilst I do think Central Asian states have a very strong understanding of the threat which faces them from Afghanistan, the Taliban takeover not so long ago now has really fundamentally changed considerations over the border security itself. And assumptions as to, you know, what we can expect going forward have suddenly changed with the Taliban taking over the whole of Afghanistan. And suddenly Central Asian states find themselves having to completely readjust and re-understand, I guess you could say, the status quo that exists on this border. And then I've put lastly, which is this is very unique to Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, but this is armed border clashes. We haven't seen these in a while. And in fact, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan have actually been working quite closely with each other to try and demarcate their respective borders, which have been the cause of a lot of these border tensions. But nonetheless, clashes have in the past escalated fast and they've got out of control of national commanders very quickly, with local level commanders often taking the initiative on the ground, leading to clashes becoming quite violent quite quick. So whilst this is just unique to the Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan in this particular example, I do think it's a regional security threat as well.
Thanks for your answer, because inside your answer, you discuss Afghanistan and also the consequences of the Taliban's rise to power in Afghanistan after the USA, United States troops withdrawal from the country. As you know, recently there was a terrorist attack in Moscow against the Krakow City Hall, and this terrorist attacks was perpetrated by Central Asian citizens, especially from Tajikistan, and also now there is this big discussion regarding the terrorist threats in Central Asia connected to Afghanistan. So my main question is your opinion. What is your opinion about this phenomenon regarding like the radicalization of Central Asian citizens and the link between Islamic State and Central Asia?
I think this has been going on for some time now, but I do definitely think it's intensified in recent years as well. I think there's been plenty of studies now by a series of experts talking about the way that Islamic State, particularly Islamic State Khorasan province, has adjusted its recruitment to try and attract Uzbeks, Tajiks, Turkmen and Kazakhs by using Uzbek and Tajik language in particular in some of their social media posts and some of their online media. And I think this represents not necessarily a change in strategy, but a doubling down on the strategy, which is attempting to recruit from Central Asia. And in the Syrian civil war, for example, we've seen Central Asian nationals often traveling over to fight for various anti-government groups there, which has been of some concern to local Central Asian governments as well. And this has been going on for quite some time now. But yeah, in relation to the recent attack in Moscow, I think what we're starting to see now is that fighters or militants from Central Asia, particularly Tajikistan at the moment, are almost acting as almost like shock troops for Islamic State, in that they're being used to carry out some of the most high-profile attacks. I believe ethnic Tajiks were involved in attacks in Germany, Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, and Russia this year alone, among others. So we're seeing them being used not just inside of the Khorasan province region, but outside too. And as for the Moscow attack, I, off the top of my head, I believe it wasn't actually claimed by Islamic State Khorasan province. I think it was claimed by Islamic State Central itself. But nonetheless, as you mentioned, the role of Central Asian fighters, Central Asian militants within this attack, yes, I do think it's significant. And I think it really, if anything, it represents nothing new, but definitely an intensification of this recruitment effort from Islamic State from within Central Asian communities.
Yes, I would like also to remind our followers that on Special Asia we discussed several times these issues. Also, recently we analyzed the Islamic State Vilayat Khorasan propaganda, particularly in Tajik language. It was released the first issue of Voice of Khorasan in Tajik language to target the Tajik citizens and also to try to push local people to fight against the president, the government of Memoli Rahmon. And also recently there was another publication of Voice of Khorasan in English language, and they really cover, deeply cover the issue of the violent attacks occurred in Moscow. So the jihadist propaganda, as you mentioned, will probably increase and also will intensify. And talking back regarding Afghanistan, because you discussed also the issues of Afghanistan, you mentioned the first answer, I would like to discuss with you, to have an opinion regarding the current status of the country and how do you assess the security situation, considering the presence, of course, of the Taliban, but also different terrorist groups. There is not just the Islamic State, but also Al-Qaeda, and there are also other terrorist groups that are are exploiting the current situation of Afghanistan under the Taliban rules.
Of course, yeah, the Afghanistan security situation fundamentally changed in many respects with the Taliban takeover, because suddenly the Taliban have gone from attacking the state, attacking state infrastructure and attacking all representatives of the state, to being the state themselves. So almost overnight, in many respects, the once insurgent, so the insurgency effectively ended because the government collapsed. But at the same time, new problems came in to fill that gap. So yes, whilst the volume of fighting we're seeing in Afghanistan has massively decreased, as you would expect with the Taliban now being in power, new issues have arisen. So a big part of that is, as you said, as well as the presence of other anti-Taliban groups based in Afghanistan. This is including groups such as Al-Qaeda, which presents a massive diplomatic issue for the Taliban and potential international partners, as well as groups such as the TTP or Tariqi Taliban Pakistan, aka the Pakistani Taliban, who, whilst the Taliban deny it, they do operate on the Afghan side of the border and are carrying out a series of coordinated attacks in Pakistan itself at the moment, which is straining at the Taliban's relationship with neighbouring Pakistan. So not only have we got other militant and terrorist groups based in Afghanistan, there's also anti-Taliban militias such as the NRF, the National Resistance Front, and the AFF, the Afghanistan Freedom Front, which are both highly active in Afghanistan and carrying out regular but fairly small attacks against the Taliban itself. So on top of this physical security, so the situation has changed. The Taliban are no longer the insurgents. The Taliban are now effectively the counter-insurgents. So that's a massive change in itself. But not only that, from a more humanitarian perspective as well, the Taliban now find themselves having to provide basic services, which the government previously did provide. In many cases, the previous government did provide it quite poorly due to things like corruption and poor infrastructure. But the previous government was heavily bankrolled by foreign donors, especially Western donors such as the USA. And the Taliban have obviously lost access to this funding, meaning the Taliban are finding it very difficult to provide basic services like education, food, water security, whatever it may be, and even just salaries for government personnel. So this answer, I guess, can be broken down into two responses. The first is that physical security changes, you know, the presence of militant unarmed groups which are damaging the relationship of the Taliban with neighboring states, as well as anti-Taliban militias, which account for quite a lot of insecurity in Afghanistan right now, albeit at a limited level. And then the second part of the answer would be the more humanitarian side. Things such as, can the Taliban provide basic utilities and healthcare to the people of Afghanistan? Well, current track record shows not very well. They're certainly struggling in this area. And other assets such as road construction, power provision, anything it may be, education, all of these issues. So yes, I think Afghanistan has changed massively. And I think the Taliban seizure, you know, as everyone expected, the Taliban seizure of the country has very much been the catalyst of that.
Thanks a lot, Max. It was really an interesting answer. Also, you provide a lot of information regarding like the galaxy of different terrorist groups or militants who are active in Afghanistan and neighboring countries. It was really interesting, and thanks for being our guest. I hope that we will have you in the future. It's always a pleasure to discuss with you issues related to Central Asia and the AFPAC region. And before ending this podcast, I would like just to remind our followers that on May 4th, we will organize an online course in geopolitical intelligence analysis. And there is the opportunity to take part of this course, and also for our followers and people who are listening to this podcast, if you send an email to Special Eurasia and you mention the code POD20, you will have a discount of 20% on our geopolitical intelligence analysis course. So thanks again, Max. It was our big pleasure to have with you, and I wish you a good day, and also I wish you to our followers and listeners a good and productive weekend. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure.